With you folks today. I hope that I haven't offended you in any way. Certainly I challenge you to, or encourage you to challenge me. Anything that I've said to you feels unscriptural. Hope you're visiting with us this evening. You can see one thing, and that is that we're only trying to do what is right. We're only trying simply to open up God's word and say, what does he want us to do here? And then trying to follow that. I know a lot of people say that, but we're honest and have an open heart when we say that. And we will certainly change when we are wrong. I've done that in my life before, and I'll do it again because ultimately I just want to be what God wants me to be. And I know that's your goal also this evening. So we welcome you if you're visitors and encourage you certainly to open your scriptures along with us. This evening I want to talk about the idea, and I tried to make this a little bigger. I was told this morning that you guys couldn't read some of my overhead. And Keith's toy broke down, so I'm kind of stuck. So you got to get the overhead, so I'll try to read the scripture. But it says there, raise your religion to a higher level. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We need to try to raise our religion to a higher level. Now, maybe you're a little concerned about some of the terminology that I used there. You know, because the words religion and so on, as we talk about them in the world, are used differently than what we use tonight. But I don't want you to be afraid of such terminology as we talk about raising our religion to a new level, because I believe it's biblical terminology. You see, the word religion is used around 7 times in the scripture. It simply means a service out of devotion, love and commitment, a demonstration of action. You see, that's what religion is. It simply is your service to God. And so when we talk about your service to God, don't you certainly then want to make sure that you are raising it to a higher level? You see, as I understand, there's around 2,000 or more different religions across this world today. But according to the book of Ephesians, it says that there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. That doesn't mean that there's a gamut of religions. There's a lot of people that consider themselves religious. But this evening, what I want you to see here is that we want to raise our religion to a new level. We want to raise our service to God in a way of love and commitment, and one that is demonstrated by action. And certainly none of us would argue with the fact that we need to strive to do that. Let's not be afraid of the idea of religion. It simply means service. But notice here also that I've asked you that we want to raise our religion to a higher level. In the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 23, we find there the account of Jesus and the palsied man. And what did Jesus say to that palsied man? He said for him to rise up and to walk. And you notice here that this evening, as I have entitled the lesson, that we want to raise our religion to a higher level. You see, I've emphasized here that we are to raise and we are to have something at a higher plane. We've decided here this evening that we don't want to be status quo. We don't want to just be pew warmers. We want to give God everything that we've got. We want to give him our service to the greatest of our ability. And so just as Jesus told the palsied man that he had to rise up and walk, I ask you this evening, how did the palsied man walk? He first had to get up off of his butt and get moving and put into motion. And you know, every one of us this evening, if we're going to raise our religion to a higher level, then we've got to get up and get into motion. I don't think it's a mistake that Jesus began his ministry saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he ended it by saying, go unto all the world and teach the gospel to every nation. You see, it's a religion. It's a service that's put into action. And we're going to raise our religion to a higher level. We don't want to be like the world. You see, we decided when we were going to become Christians that we were going to leave the world. We were going to live by the standard of the world. That wasn't the kind of service that we're going to devote to God. But we were going to devote a service on a higher level. The book of Romans chapter 6, where you were studying this morning in Bible class. I want you to read there verse 4 with me. Because it says, therefore we are baptized or buried with him by baptism into his death. And like as Christ was raised up from dead from the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. You say, when you were dead in your sin, you were then baptized in, as a burial into death, and then you rose to walk a new life, just as Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. You see, you started out your very walk as a Christian by raising yourself to a higher level, by making that determination that this way of the world, this life of sin was not one that I was going to live into, but I'm going to raise that standard. But even as Christians, I think what the fault of us has been is that we decided from the time that we got up out of that watery grave is that we were okay. And we have became a group of people that are commandment keepers. and we think that we're doing all that is right, and we have met the standard that pleases everyone else. But the standard that we're trying to meet this evening is the standard of God and His Scriptures, and that is one that's raised up on a higher level. As we explore this idea a little bit, we have to come to the understanding that not all religion is acceptable before God. We begin over here in the book of Genesis chapter 4, and we study the well-known story of Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, I want you to notice there in verse 4 and 5. It said, and in the process, or in verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to the offering that he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance had fallen. Now I want you to think about this a second. Here we have those two people who we might say are religious people. But was that enough? You see, you take the rich young ruler, it said here that he had kept the commandments from his youth up. But was that enough for him? Because he went away sorrowful. You know, Cain and Abel, both of them had religion. Both of them had some sort of a service, a love and commitment to God. But when it came to their actions, they were completely different. One was accepted, one was not. You see, Cain failed to raise his religion to a higher level. You know, we could sit around here today. One of us may have the proper devotion. One of us may have the proper commitment. And one of us may be in lacking, and our religion will not be accepted. Our service will be rejected of God. Turn over to the book of Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Here we study about two of the priests in the Levitical priesthood, Nadab and Abihu. And you know, no doubt that those of the Levitical tribe were religious people, if you would. They were people dedicated to the service of God. You see, they weren't given land and animals and so on, crops as an inheritance. God said that my people are your inheritance. You see, their entire life was wrapped up in the religious service of and worship of God. That's what their duty was. But here in Leviticus 10, chapter or verses 1, it says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them the censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not. And there went out, verse 2, out from the fire of the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You see, here are religious people. These are people that are devoting some sort of service. They have some sort of a commitment, being of the Levitical priesthood here, some sort of commitment to God. But what happened? They failed to raise the religion to a higher level. You see, when it came to action, their religion was contaminated by what the Scriptures call strange fire. Turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to call your attention to verses 22 and 23. It says, many will say, and these are the words of Christ, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work wickedness or iniquity. Religious people. No doubt they have some sort of love and commitment to God. It says here, Lord, Lord. And you know, we can even say that it was demonstrated by action. Because they said that they were doing miracles, they were casting out devils and doing all these things. And nowhere when I read the Scriptures was that ever refuted. I don't know whether they were doing that or not. But something was not accepted by that, because he said, depart from me, I know ye not. You see, sometimes I think because we think we've got religion. We talk to people and they say, I got religion. They talk about religion in a way that they're saved because they got religion. I want you to see that there's worship that is acceptable. There's service that is acceptable before God. And there's service that is rejected before God because they failed to reach the standard of the Scriptures. Book of Matthew chapter 15. Read there with me verses 8 and 9. Again, the words of Christ. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, religious people, but notice where their love was. Notice where their commitment was. It must have been more on the commandments and doctrines of men, because that's what they were teaching. You know, you can't have one standard of Scripture and have over 2,000 different religions. Man is making something up somewhere along the line. You know, man contaminates religion. But this evening we're talking about raising our religion to a higher level. Notice When we're talking about raising our religion, I'm talking about raising your religion. I don't care about your faulty eldership. I don't care about your lazy neighbor or the lazy person on the pew beside of you or the problematic wife or spouse. We're talking about your religion. See, there's only one person that's going to take an account thereof on the day of judgment for the things that you do in your life, and that's you. So this evening, when we talk about raising our religion to a higher level, we're talking about you. And so let's just look at a few points together here, how we might raise our religion to a higher level. Number one, how about starting out by making God a part of your life? You said, Jason, I became a Christian way back in 1985, or, you know, didn't I do that then? You know, when I hear, believed, repent, confess, when I did all those things I was told to do, didn't I make God a part of my life? I want you to see here, it says, make God a part of your life. Make God a part of your life. Make God a part of your life. There's a difference there. You see, we're not talking about commandment keeping this evening. You see, just like the rich young ruler, which kept all of those commandments from the time up, but yet something was lacking there. Something that he was doing was failed to raise his religion to a level that was acceptable before God. And that's the way we've got to look at our lives today. When we examine it and what we're doing, we've got to say, what's lacking, and then try to correct that. We want to make God a part of our life. Look here in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Notice what we're talking about. Pure religion. That's a religion that's raised to a higher level. Then what do? You have to get to work. When there's people that are orphans that need help, then individuals get out there and help them. When there are widows that need assistance, then you as individuals get out there and help them. That's not just commandment keeping. That's making God a part of your life. You see a need, you're taking care of it. You know, but in an effort for people to realize they need to raise their religion to a higher level, they've forgotten the standard. You see, because somewhere along the line they've decided, you know, individuals aren't going to do it. We'll have the church do it. And the church has become nothing more than a social club where we can all gather every week and we can pass the plate and pay our dues. And we all get to keep to be our members, you know. That's not the way the Lord set up the church. Here in the book of James chapter 1, when he's talking about those who are visiting the widows and the fatherless and so on, he's talking about talking to the individual. And that's how you make God a part of your life. Not by the church setting up an orphan home, and not by the church setting up a nursing home and putting it under their care, but as individuals meeting that standard. You know, churches start bringing in all these things that are going to attract people into their building. And they do it because, you see, they want to make God a part of everyone's life. But here in the book of 2 John, I read there, verse 9. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You see, unless God authorized it, God isn't a part of it. You can't bring things into the church. You have no book, chapter, and verse 4, and then say that God's in your life. You simply can't do that. And so you want to know how you make God a part of your life? Then you do it by keeping strict conformity to his word. It's in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. See, we need to insist on that standard. We don't just want to make ourselves have a religion like everyone else. We want to have a religion that's acceptable before God. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We continue our thought and how to make God a part of our life. I want to call your attention to beginning in verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be on the frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and on thy gates. So what's your point? You want to know how you make God a part of your life? That is by never missing an opportunity to point out how God is in every aspect of your life. You see, it's here on my forehead where you can see it and tell I'm a Christian. It's here on my hands where I can see it and I'm reminded. And when you come into my property, it's on my gate so you can tell that this house worships the Lord. And whether we're going to bed or whether we're rising up, we're talking about God. Every one of us have somebody at work somewhere that talks about God all the time. Well, you know, at least they're bringing God into the topic, and you know what? That ought to be us. You know, I talked to my son. He's only 2 years old. We pray together every night, but we talked about God. You ask him, who put the moon in the sky? He'll say, God. You ask him, who's watering the flowers when it's raining outside? He'll say, God. Who's making you grow? He'll say, God. You go, well, he's just repeating things. You know, he's not really learning anything. Well, a while back when we were praying together, my uncle's been sick, and we've been praying for him every night. And he said, God make Uncle Guy better. See, he may just be 2 years old, but he understands God's in control of it all. You know, September the 11th was just yesterday, wasn't it? Day before yesterday, anyways. It wasn't very far off. I haven't looked at the calendar, and I didn't know what date it is. But nevertheless, on September the 11th, we all watched them planes come down, hit those towers, and drop. And you know, that sickened me, and it probably sickened you as well. I tell you what sickened me even more that day, because every time the news turned on, they would find some idiot out there on the street that they would put in front of a microphone, and they would say, why would God let this happen? My friends, God never brought down the Twin Towers. That was the evilness of mankind by the choices which they made, not God. And we wonder why the world doesn't see God in every aspect of our life. I think it's because we need to be pointing it out. You see, we need to make God a part of our life. Don't miss that opportunity. Here's another suggestion when you want to raise your religion to a higher level. How about learning to respect God's word? Turn over here to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and many of you can quote this scripture, but we're going to turn and read it. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, there study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, if you're going to have a respect for God's word, start out by studying it, not reading it, not listening to it, but the scripture here said to study it. And then it took it a step further, and it said, and then rightly divide it. You see, after you read it, after you study it and spend some time in it, then you've got to decide, how do I apply it? And that's what rightly divide means. And you apply it as it's directed. You know, we can't talk about learning to respect God's word in a society where we look out and everybody's created their own Bible now or their own religious teachings on things. Nowhere do I read anything in these scriptures about flying planes in the towers. But you know, somebody read their religious book and got that idea in their head. You know, there's no respect for God's word today. And you know, there was a time when Christians used to be known as walking Bibles because they could quote the scriptures. It's told that the Jewish boy learned from the age 3 on up how to memorize 10 verses a day. You know, I don't hear our children quoting scriptures like when I grow up. But we sang songs even to learn scriptures, and we learned them because we learned to have a respect then for God's word. We need to learn to have that respect. In the book of Psalms, chapter 40, I want you to see here what it says in verse 8. Because it says, I will delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You know, having a respect for God's word is, when God tells you to do something, you're delighted to do it. You know how some people look at religion? They look at their service to God as this is not a book of a law of liberty, as the book of James says, but this is a law of limitations. And so when I become a Christian, I've got all these rules that come down on me and I can't do anything anymore. This isn't a book of law of liberty, or this is a perfect law of liberty, not a book of limitations. You see here, when you delight to do God's word, you can't wait to get to work. That's having a respect for the scriptures. But you notice, I want you also to see here in the second part of this verse, it says, the law is within my heart. I'm going to talk about the heart here in just a second. You got to bear with me. After 9 years of schooling, medical field, I can't help but think about medicine. I can't shut that down just because this is Sunday. But I'm going to talk about the heart. You see, the heart here is this big fancy muscle that basically sits here in the middle of our body, and it just starts squeezing in a rhythmic fashion, and it pumps blood throughout our whole system. It provides the oxygen and nutrients to the very extremities of our body and provides the color which we have, and it provides the life which we all now enjoy. But when that heart quits pumping, then we cease to exist. Now let me make the parallel for you. In the book of Psalms, chapter 40 and verse 8 said that the law of God, he had it within his heart. You know what it's like to have a respect for God's word that you can't imagine existing without it? That's having a respect for God's word. It's not grievous to do his commandments. You can't wait to do them. It's not grievous for you to get up and read and study your scriptures. You can't wait to find out what God wants for you. And that's having a respect for God's word. There was a sermon preached over here in the book of Acts, chapter 7, if you want to turn over there with me. A preacher by the name of Stephen was teaching this in Acts, chapter 7, and it says there in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, even so do ye. Which of the fathers have your fathers not, or prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And which of they have not slain and showed before the coming in the just one? Of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers." Now, when Stephen stood up in front of this crowd, he said they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You know what was wrong with them? It wasn't that the sermon that Stephen was preaching there was wrong. It was that it fell on hearts that weren't ready to listen to it. He called them stiff-necked. You know what stiff-necked means? That means you're not willing to turn. Your body can't turn away from the angle that you're on. You have tunnel vision. You're stuck in a rut. You're not willing to change. Is that the way we need to approach Scripture? Or do we want to read the Scripture, hear the truth, and change who we are? He said they're uncircumcised. You know what circumcision is? It's a removing of the thick skin. You know, there's a thick barrier here that's covering the heart that can't be penetrated. You know, there are people that are losing the lives of their teens every day. And they keep thinking, I'm losing a connection. I can't connect with them anymore. I try to teach them God's word. They sit there every week in the pew. They never respond to the gospel. I don't know what's happening. Well, you know what the key to that is, parents? You find out what that thick barrier is that you can't penetrate, and you tear it down. You know, some of them don't come here when there's sports going on. Some of them don't come here when there's school activities going on. You need to have them here. You need to make sure that barrier is torn down so that their heart can be penetrated. It reminds me of a Old Testament story over in the book of Exodus, chapter 10. Remember how Moses had to go before Pharaoh? In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 27 it says, "And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go." You see, Moses here went before Pharaoh, and he was begging for the Israelites to be let go. And he said unto Pharaoh, he took the word of the Lord, he said, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh went down to Moses, and he said, "No." Scripture says he increased the burden on the people, and then God sent a plague. Then Moses went back to Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." He increased the burden on the people, and God sent a plague. And it happened a third time, and it happened a fourth time, and it happened a tenth time. And guess what happened because of Pharaoh's heart? He suffered a great loss. You see, if you don't get a respect for God's word, if you don't start letting God's word penetrate your heart, then you too will suffer a great loss. We got to get the word of God in our heart. We've got to let it penetrate and make the changes that it needs to make us the people that we are. That's having a respect for God's word. Turn over now to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 3 says, "And they stood up in their place, and they read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, one fourth of the day. And another fourth part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." Now I want to ask you here, what did these people do when the word of the Lord was read? It said that they stood up. You know, when we read the word of God, having respect for it, our hearts ought to stand on end. That's having a respect for God's word. Notice here, they didn't just stand up for a scripture reading that took a minute and a half. It said here that they stood a fourth of the day. Boy, if I go over 30 minutes, somebody's going to let me know. But you know, they stood there and they listened to it for a fourth of the day as it was being read. not taught with overheads in some sort of an interesting fashion, but it was read to them, and they stood and they listened because they had a respect for God's Word. We ought to have that respect today. We ought to be able to appreciate God's Word to that extent. Turn over now to the book of Acts in chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and I want you to read there with me, verse 28. Here's a message that's being given to the elders at Miletus. It says there in verse 28, as they're being instructed, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." Notice here the instructions was they were to feed the church of God. I'm going to give you another one of my medical moments. I happen to be an expert on eating. As you can see that, I'm a big boy. You see, food is something you take and you throw in your mouth and you start breaking it up by chewing. And then you take this food and you throw it back your hatch. It starts getting advanced through your body, breaking it up just that much more. Then it gets down into your stomach, and it clamps off on both sides and starts mixing with chemicals, and it starts squeezing and does what we call churning, mixing up in there, breaking it up further and further to smaller particles. And then it sends it out through your system and travels around 33 foot of bowel and divides all this stuff up and sends it throughout your whole body, making you who you are today. You know, you look at your hair, and the very texture and the very color is determined by the things that you eat. Your very nails and the thickness of them, the color of your skin, your energy level, your very countenance is controlled by the things that you eat. Now let me make the parallel here, because in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, they said to feed the flock. That was the instructions to the elders. You see, you give them the word of God, and you take it in your mouth. You start consuming and feeding on that. And then you start breaking it down and chewing about it. And you send it back in your system, advance it onto your stomach, and you give it a while, and you start churning it up and mixing it in and thinking about it and concentrating on it and breaking it down, because you don't want to just read it. You want to read and understand it. You want to have a respect for it. You want to give it some time to make sure you're doing pure religion, not just a religion, and you're letting it become throughout your whole system. It is your energy level, it is your countenance, and it is your very being. When you let God's Word in your life, it makes you who you are. But you know, when I look throughout the churches today, I see people that are dying of malnutrition and anorexia every day because they're not being fed. I think about the preaching that I grew up with and some of the preaching that I hear today, and I can bash preachers since I'm up here preaching to now, but I can tell you that I see preachers hired for some of the dumbest reasons. I've seen preachers hired because one of them had a beard and one of them didn't. I've seen preachers hired because one of them fit into their budget and the other one didn't. You see, one was cheaper. But you know, when we hire somebody to teach the Word of God, we need to make sure that they're capable people to teach the Word of God, not people getting up here just to fill a slot. You know, I see people going into classes unprepared. I've seen teachers get up in front of an audience and say, "Where are we today?" We wonder why our children thinks it's okay that they could kill their baby, or that it's okay to take "In God We Trust" off of our coins, or it's okay to remove the Ten Commandments from our schools. It's because they've had no respect for God's Word over time, and they haven't been fed. We need to have a respect for God's Word. That's all about raising our religion to a higher level. Let me end with a few more thoughts. You want to raise your religion to a higher level? Then why don't you start by serving God with great fervor. Turn over to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read there around verse 16. It says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I don't need to say it again, my friends. If you have a religion that you have failed to raise to a higher level, then it will be rejected. It leaves a nasty taste in the mouth of Christ. It says, "Because you're neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spit you out. I'm going to vomit you. I'm rejecting it." Is that what you want to be said about your service? Or do you want to say that I have given God everything I've got? be known as a heretic. Be known as that religious freak at work. I don't care, because I'm serving Jehovah God. In the book of James, chapter 2, and verse 18, it says there, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You want to raise your religion to a higher level? Then get to work. That's where it starts. You can't talk about having pure religion and not getting out there, as James chapter 1, verse 27, and doing something. You see, we think religion is encompassed with our attendance as we come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and sometime midweek, and we think that, oh, we've got religion. But it involves work, working on our lives, working on trying to save other souls, working on trying to be better people, working on salvation of the church. And that begins with each one of us raising our religion to a new level. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. "For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, in Christ Jesus, we've been made alive. Just as we were buried in that watery grave of baptism and He was resurrected, we were resurrected from the dead spiritually and we were made alive. See, we've decided we don't want to be pew warmers. Christians don't retire. We don't want to go into hibernation. We want to give everything to God. We're alive. Then why is it that sometimes we have to reach out and check a pulse of our brother to see if he's still with us? It's because somebody isn't giving it their all. But you know, if you want to raise your religion to a higher level, then what I'm saying is you need to serve God with great fervor. Turn over in conclusion over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, and it says, "Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice there that being in Jesus Christ and serving Him with great favor has to do with the fact that we have a hope. And not just a hope, but a hope that's been raised to a higher level. You see, it's one that is a lively hope because it's Jesus Christ is involved in it. And we keep our eye on the goal, and that's how you serve God with great fervor. But maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, you talk about a lively hope, but maybe I don't even know that I have hope. I have a suggestion for you if you're an unfaithful Christian tonight. Why don't you raise your religion to a new level and start making God a part of your life? If you're here and you know that you're not doing everything you need to do, why don't you learn to respect God's Word? Start applying the things you've been taught. If you want to raise your religion to a new level, then start serving God with great fervor. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian at all. But you've decided that somewhere along the line, your service to God needs to change. I have two suggestions for you. You need to make God a part of your life. A scripture read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 said, you were buried with Him in baptism. You see, that's how you contact the blood. Just as He was, you put the dead man to sin and rise and walk a new life. And you raise your religion to a new level. You start living a different life. Book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." You need to make God a part of your life. You need to start learning to respect God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. You want to develop faith, then start opening the Scriptures. Start accounting yourself to every time the Scriptures are taught to be there and learn and then rightly divide it and start applying it. You want to become a Christian tonight by raising your religion to a new level, then you start by coming out of that watery grave of baptism and start serving God with great fervor. If we can help you tonight, make your wants and wishes known as we stand and sing.